Good morning. It's good to be with you from the Bible Baptist Church. And I want to get right into our study this morning as we're continuing on with the end times. And of course, as I mentioned, the end times is a very difficult to study because you begin to see what is going to happen to many millions and billions of people in this world after Christ comes to receive his own people back to heaven with him during the rapture. And then what's going to take place during the tribulation period. And we began last week, we were talking last week about the judgment of the seven seals. And last week we mentioned about the white horse that's represented there, and that is a representation of the Antichrist rising to power. And I want to pick up where we left off. I want to read for you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, and then we'll go from where we left off and continue on. In verse 1 it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the gathering together under him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." We recall last week we talked about the term the day of Christ being used here in verse 2. And that means to set up his kingdom. Christ will, at that time, come and set his kingdom up on earth. But also in that very same verse, in verse 3, it says, "For that day shall not come except." And as I mentioned, something must first happen before Christ sets up his kingdom in this world. First of all, there comes a falling away. And secondly, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Both of these must take place before the day of the Lord can begin, and neither one of them has yet taken place. Neither one has happened. The scripture tells us there must be a falling away first. You know, many have interpreted this to mean apostasy, and I agree that it does mean that. But I think it means more than that, as a careful examination of the word will reveal to us. The Greek word that is here translated a falling away is apostasia. The root word actually means departure or removal. Before the day of the Lord begins, there must first come a removing. There are two kinds of removing that are going to take place. First, the organized church will depart from the faith. That is what is called apostasy. And boy, you sure see that in churches around the world right now. They've turned away from the Word of God. They've ignored the commands of the Word of God. They have allowed sin into the church. They have allowed leadership in the church to be homosexual by nature, by choice. And this is all contrary to the Word of God. You have women pastoring churches. It's contrary to the Word of God. It may not be popular to say, but it's because it's become fashionable. When apostasy sets in, people depart from the truth. They depart from those things that are true in the Word of God. But there will also be a total apostasy when the Lord comes. And that cannot take place until the true church is removed. Let me explain this. The Lord asked, when the Son of Man cometh, that means to earth, shall he find faith in Luke 18:8. The faith is referring to that body of truth which was left here. Christ left us an entire body of truth, not just one particular truth here or one particular truth there, but the entirety of it in his word. The answer to the question is no. When Christ does return to the earth, no, he will not find that faith when he returns again. See, there will be an apostasy of two things. First of all, the organized church has departed from the faith. It has apostatized. Secondly, there has been another departure of the church from the earth. The departure of the true church leads to a total apostatizing of the organized church. If you consider as a whole the entire world and religion within the entire world, you find only a remnant today that is still holding to the body of truth that Christ left us. It has been changed through the changing of Bibles, of bringing in different easy-to-read versions of the Bible, so to speak. And unknown to many believers and just members of churches, they don't go to the in-depth study and find out things, and maybe they're not capable of doing that. They don't know where the resources are. But those words have been changed. They're no longer the Word of God, and so the truth has changed. And so when truth has changed, practice has changed. And people are falling away from the truth because an unwillingness in the leadership of churches to maintain and stay with the truth. They're trying to just cater to the populace, to what people want. You know, people in their own nature are sinners by nature. They live in sin. And so they like sinful things. They like rebellion. They like independence. They don't like to be submissive to Christ and to his word. And so they want a church that caters to their worldly fashions, their worldly needs. And leadership has left the word of God. They've left the truth. And now they've catered to a people just so they can bring people in, just so the finances can still maintain their church, their lifestyle, their living, whatever it may be. But there's been a great falling away, and today there's a remnant still maintaining the truth. But when the Lord comes, when the rapture takes place, those holding to the truth will be taken off. Those are born-again believers. They'll be lifted off the face of the earth, and then the complete falling away will have taken place not then, because there will be no one maintaining the truth at that time in this world. The day of the Lord cannot begin, nor the tribulation period, until the departure of the true church has taken place. I think the world is going to say and be very glad and very happy when the rapture takes place. I'm sure there'll be a resounding sigh of relief when they say, boy, I'm glad they're gone. What a nuisance those Bible preachers and teachers have been. They'll be glad that they are gone. They're no longer here to pester them and to bother them. The world will rejoice. They do not realize what a sad day it will be for them when the true church leaves, when all believers are taken off the earth. They'll be thinking that they're entering into the blessings of the millennium, not realizing that they're actually entering into the great tribulation period, which will be a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. There is nothing preliminary to the rapture. Nothing, what I mean, is necessary to take place for the rapture to come. There's nothing left. Jesus can come at any moment, any time. We're not waiting for this to take place, then Christ can come. That's all been done. But a regular schedule of events will follow the rapture. The Bible very clearly begins to step out the events and one by one that's going to take place. You know, we are often warned to expect daily the rapture, the first phase of Christ's coming. So there are not any prophesied events to come before the rapture. So before the Antichrist, before Daniel's 70th week can begin, that is the tribulation, and before the great tribulation period, there must come a rapture of the saints. Now, I want to open up now. Well, I will not do that, but we will look at the second seal that is going to be opened. Remember, the first seal that is opened reveals the Antichrist. And that is the white horse that represents the Antichrist. Now, we see in the scripture that second seal is being opened by Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4 tell us, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, so that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." The red horse, this horse directly follows the white horse. This horse represents war and bloodshed. In verse 4, it says to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. When this horse comes, this seal is open, murder will be rampant. War will devastate the world population. It'll not be as we've seen in our history or in our lifetime day, wars that have been taking place. Of course, many reflect back to the great wars, we call them World War I, World War II, and the millions of people that died in this war. Not only the armies, but the civilian population was enormous. But this will far exceed those things. The red horse of war follows the white horse of dictatorship. My goodness, aren't we being primed for dictatorship today in America? We have a presidency that ignores our Constitution. We have a president that does whatever he wants to do and by certain laws, and nobody's challenging him. Nobody's standing up to him with the laws in which we have. And we see a strong form of dictatorship really happening in our country today. But the red horse follows the white horse of dictatorship. And at that time, then, war, oppression, and trouble to multitudes who follow those who seize power will take place. Let me give you historical examples of what I'm referring to. Give Mussolini absolute power in Italy at the time of World War II, and he dreams of world conquest and begins to slaughter his slaughter of Ethiopia. You give Hitler unchallenged power in Germany, and he sets out to conquer the world. Let a little corporal, Napoleon Bonaparte, seize power in France, and he aims at all of Europe. These dictators that come to the forefront bring war around the world. Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 and 7 tell us, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places," or various places, that word means. "And all these are the beginning of sorrows." The Antichrist has set himself now as God. So the wars and the slaughters of this age are only the beginning of sorrows that shall follow when God's people are taken out and the Holy Spirit influence on the world through them is removed. The red horse pictures the end of peace on earth when the Antichrist seizes power. Now let us notice the third seal is opened. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" The black horse of the third seal represent starvation. Food becomes scarce. Wars have taken men from the plow and the reaping. Opposing armies have burned fields and ravished storehouses. The Bible says, use the term penny. That represents one day's wages for one day's work in Bible times. A man would have to work all day for a measure of wheat. A measure is one man's portion of food for one meal. So you see in this time what is taking place. A man will work an entire day for one meal. That's it. One individual. But what happens to his wife if this man is married? What happens to his children if they have a family? What happens is they will starve. He will not be able to earn enough money to provide food for them also. The individual working will find enough just to feed himself one meal in that time. Now, it also states here, though, if he ate barley instead of wheat, he lowered his standard of living. He could buy three meals for a day's work. Of course, the quality of food would be much more inferior and probably wouldn't be as nutritious to him, but he could find three measures of barley for a day's work. Now, we notice what happens in the fourth seal. In verses 7 and 8, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with beasts of the earth. The pale horse represents death. There are going to be four ways, the scripture points out here, that man will die as a result of this judgment, this fourth seal is being opened. First of all, they'll die by the sword, victims of murder and war. Secondly, they'll die of hunger. They'll starve to death. In the third case, they'll die of disease, or the word death is used here. And that will happen from the many corpses and bodies that have become diseased in their and rotting, not being buried. And the fourth is they'll be eaten alive by beasts of the earth. The Bible says by sword and with hunger and with death and with beasts of the earth. One-fourth of the world's population dies and goes to hell. You say, preacher, what do you mean they go to hell? You have to remember that Christ has taken all believers off the earth. And he who now letteth will let. The Holy Spirit's influence is now left. People won't be drawn to Christ. People won't be desiring salvation. People won't be wanting that at this time. And these people left behind are all unsaved. They've all rejected salvation through Jesus Christ. And herein lies the problem with the false teaching of today when people say, I'm good enough. I can live a good enough life. I shouldn't have to go to hell. I'll go to heaven because I'm kind to my neighbors and I give good causes and so forth. And that's a false teaching, and that's a rejection of Christ's salvation, salvation through his blood, the blood he shed on the cross when he died for man's sins and paid for all of man's sins. And through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is salvation. But the world, even today, is rejecting that. They're rejecting that whole idea because of pride, because of false teaching, because of false religion. And they've set aside that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and they've decided to become their own Savior. They've decided the religion is their Savior. They decided their good works are their Savior. And when the rapture comes, these people that have rejected Christ, many of them will die during this fourth seal, or the first three seals that take place, one, fourth of the world's population. I began to try and set out an idea or a number of people that would be, but when realizing that the number that we have today of 7 billion people upon the earth would be vastly different when the rapture takes place. I don't know how many will be taken off the earth, so there's no way I could give a ballpark figure of the number of people that will be dying during this time. But all people that will die as a result of this judgment will go to hell. Christians, as I stated, have been raptured out by this time. No one will be saved until the second half of the tribulation. And when we get there, you understand it when I share that with you. The Bible says hell followed with him in this last seal that we're looking at here, the fourth seal. Not the last one, but the fourth seal. These verses obviously show that the tribulation will not be business as usual. The absence of Christians and the presence of the Antichrist are not the only differences between the tribulation and now. It'll be a time of worldwide death that happens. The first 3.5 years, there will be peace in Israel, but not worldwide. We have to understand there will be, the Antichrist will make peace with Israel. And that'll last for 3.5 years. The second 3.5 years will be persecution. The Antichrist tries to kill all Jews during this second half of the tribulation. In actuality, the tribulation will be the closest thing to hell on earth for people. It'll be so awful, so terrible. And I really beg you, if you're never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I beg you to do so. Because there will come a time and that rapture could take place in moments from now. We don't know when it's going to happen, but when it happens, the world will rejoice that believers are gone, Christians are gone, Bible thumpers, whatever you want to call believers, they're gone. But then the tribulation starts. The Antichrist is revealed. It's openly known. The seals are opened. And all the horrible events begin to transpire and begin to take place. We won't be able to comprehend. We can't today comprehend the chaos that will take place. People will go to churches looking for answers. There will be nobody there. There's no one there to give an answer. Believers are gone. All babies will rapture off the earth that time. They're innocent. They've never made they're not the age of being able to make choices. And they can't choose to receive Christ their Savior. In their innocence, they'll be gone. Hospital nurseries will be empty. Cribs and playpens will be emptied around the world. You know, millions of people will be gone. They have kept sanity, really, in this world. And truth in this world. But when that's gone, all chaos begins to happen and begins to take place. And this is just the beginning, folks. This is not even into the other judgments that will take place during this time. This is very somber and it's a very heavy time that I personally, I feel a great heaviness upon myself because I see a great need that people need to know Jesus Christ before this all happens. I want to encourage you to come visit with us. Join us here on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, a Wednesday night. Call us at 724-439-2519 if you have any questions, spiritual questions that we can aid you with and help you with.